You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tour Report from Secret Golf. This week, well, it's Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic, and we will talk about that in a few minutes. Elk, we were so close to three outright winners in a row at the Travelers Championship. Keegan Bradley winning by three in the end. It all started to unfold for him towards the end. And Patrick Cantlay, man, he had his chances. He could have been three better over the last three holes, but c'est la vie. You almost had it again.
Well, I think Keegan Bradley had it again. He's the one that had it. When you get six strokes ahead, Diane, you're trying to tiptoe your way in and trying to play somewhat of conservative, just to sort of, you realize that you're probably going to win this tournament if you just don't go into the water or whatever. And it's not the easiest position because you've had your brain set on one position all week. And now you're like, hey, I've got this. Just stay cool. There's a few holes we got to get across the water and so on. But, you know, I had Cantlay, as you know, for three in a row, but I never felt like Cantlay was in it. Not what you just said. I think it was all Bradley, too much Bradley. He was motivated from this tournament from the start of the week. He putted great. He had his kids there. He's always wanted to win this tournament. And that little piece of an equation right there is hard to quantify into how a player's mindset wants to win. You can do the stats all day long, but if you have a guy that's so motivated by another area of his life, it changes a lot of things.
And he'd missed the cut at the US Open, played mini golf with his kids at the weekend before heading to Hartford for the Travelers. And, you know, things like that, you have to have a short memory. So the pain of missing the cut at the US Open, you have a great time with your kids, you kind of forget about it and you look ahead to the next week. And as you say, having them there and his wife meant so much to him. It was the tournament he always wanted to win. But you know me, I love a dramatic ending, and Cantlay really had the potential to push him, put a little bit of extra pressure on, potentially take it to a playoff. But, you know, you had picked him as your outright favourite. It's a course that he's always played really, really well on. It was a great week, and we had a lot of guys kind of back and forth. We'll talk about maybe one of them a little bit later on, but you know, we love the Travelers. I saw that you commented on a tweet because they actually made miniature trophies for Keegan Bradley's sons, and you know, you always say they go above and beyond. They always have done for the players and their families, and it was so cool to see that.
Yeah. And, you know, at the beginning of the week last week, we predicted that the winner would come out of a group of statistics of hitting tons of greens and putting well. And that was it. The three guys, the four guys, the five guys, the six guys, actually nine of the 11 guys that finished in the top 11 dominated those two stats. So that combination really works really well at Hartford. Mm-hmm. Tricky bit is to get him in form and get him going that direction. But getting a lot of looks at Hartford, being a good putter, is really the formula. Yes, and of course, Hartford is going to bring out trophies for the kids, Diane. I mean, they've been doing stuff for my kids long after I was gone from the tour. So amazing, amazing company. They really like being on the tour. They really like to entertain their hometown crowd. They like to put a lot of money into the community, and they really, you know, go over backwards for the players. It's awesome.
Yeah, great crowds. I think we're going to see great crowds again this week because the PGA Tour is in Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic, Detroit Golf Club. I'm starting to think about Scottish Open in a couple of weeks and then the Open Championship, obviously, in England this year. But we do have some of the bigger names playing this week. Tony Finau is back as defending champion. Justin Thomas, who had a great week finally at the Travelers last week. He managed to shake some stuff off. Colin Morikawa, Max Homa in the field this week. I said that Tony Finau won last year. We've had a real mix of past champions here, and we'll dive into that. But my favourite story came in 2019. Nate Lashley was the last man in the field as an alternate, and he was so late getting in that a lot of the sports books didn't even have odds for him before he teed off on Thursday, and he went on to win at 25 under par. So we're going to have a shootout this week, but you know, that was just a great story, and it shows that this is the kind of course that can really be very open when it comes to a winner.
Yeah, it's a Donald Ross course, Diane. It's slightly tricky, though. There's a big trees. They had a big storm that went through. I was looking on some of the videos, cutting down some big trees that were damaged last night. But, you know, Donald Ross was the master at making angles. And the last three champions here, Tony Finau, Cam Davis, and Bryson DeChambeau, Bryson did it slightly different than everyone else. He didn't hit any greens. He was awesome at chipping and putting that week. He finished first and second in chipping and putting. That hasn't been his game probably since then. But Finau and Davis, they drove the heck out of the ball at this course. So what that tells me, Diane, is there's some angles that you have. If you get into the fairway, you can come in and play it. If you get off, Donald Ross is well known for perched up and offset angle greens where you can't really get in there. I remember watching it a couple of years ago, lots of little dips and drop-offs and nasty little places to chip from, and just – a typical Donald Ross masterpiece. But basically, Diane, it's driving and putting the two things that I'm focused on this week. If you take the three winners I just spoke of and the guys that finished second and third each of those years, and we push them all together, they all were excellent in off the tee and putting. So that was the difference.
Yeah, and guys that can make birdies, because, you know, we said Nate Lashley went 25 under. Finau won last year at 26 under par. So it's going to be a really low-scoring event. I mean, the cut is going to be, what, like -3, -4, -5, somewhere around about there. So the guys are going to have to get off to a super low start. But as you say, you know, this course, it's a Donald Ross course. Yeah, it's tricky. It's the flattest course that the guys play on the PGA Tour, but it's 7,370 yards, plays as a par 72. You look back at the stats and great putters, great off the tee. Lashley did it a little bit different, only because he's a lot shorter than Bryson, than Cam Davis, than Tony Finau. Matt Wolff was right behind Bryson's heels when he won. But he had a great approach game. Approach and putting for him were the two major stats. But tree-lined fairways, kind of wide fairways, but accuracy is obviously going to come into it. A few water hazards, the fourth hole, 635-yard par 5. This is a gem of a course. And as I said, the fans are going to be out in their droves in Detroit to really support this tournament.
Yeah, and when I say driving is a really important factor, like last week, driving wasn't one of the stats that we were focused on. You could drive it way down there, like Rory, and be in the rough a little bit and still play the golf course, but when I say driving is one of the two and most important this week, I'm sort of thinking about that if you hit a good drive on this hole, it unlocks the hole. It gives you an opportunity to play the hole you want to. Think of number 18 at TPC Sawgrass. If you hit the fairway at 18 at TPC Sawgrass, you've kind of unlocked the hole. You've played the hardest piece of the hole, and now you can attack the pin. if you're in the right rough, you can't really do anything. Of course, there's water left. So when I talk about off the tee being very important, Diane, I'm talking about sort of unlocking the potential of you to play the course.
Okay. The position. Those angles. Position. Yeah, yeah. Okay, right. Well, this week, you know, we're obviously picking our outright winners, our ones to watch, and our dark horses. I gave you the kind of highlight guys that are going to be teeing it up this week. But, you know, this tournament's actually being held at a different time of year. So I remember last year thinking this was such an important one because we were so close to the FedEx Cup playoffs where the 125 would advance. This year it's being held a month earlier, but we're still very close to the FedEx Cup playoffs and the fact that it's the top 70 this year and not the 125. So guys, yes, the 125 is always going to be an important number, but they have the rest of the year to play to get within that group. It's the top 70 that make the playoffs. And it's always tight round about this time as we look to the final major of the year.
Yeah, the 125 keeps your job for next year. Top 70 gets you more money this year. That's the way we think of it as tour players.
All right. Okay, well, let's get into our picks this week because a bit of a diverse field. So it's fun to really trawl through it, pick out some names, really look at those stats. I will let you start with your outright favorite because I forgot who you're picking. I don't know who you're going with this week.
Well, I think they have a big tour meeting tomorrow too on the sortie deal. I'm sort of looking at this field, Diane, I'm actually even considering people that are less distracted by that decision or that less distracted by going to that meeting and being dominated the talking points at the course today. Someone that's maybe not that worried about what's going to happen because they're a tour player and they just want to get on with their business and they're tired of talking about it. But I will tell you this, Diane, and by the way, we have had a lot of success in our picking and it's no surprise, there's 83% of the wins that have been won on the PGA Tour in 2023, Diane, have been won by 72 players. Yeah. So we know who they are, and we're not going to tell you the recipe that they have that where they keep coming out of, but I'm going to tell you this. All three of mine this week are inside of that top 72. One of them is a long shot. But I'm looking at off the tee, Diane, and putting. Those are my two that I'm focused on. And I'm looking at the best possible available combination of those two stats. The best possible available that's not distracted this week is Sungjae Im. Mm-hmm. He's been, you know, hanging around all year, Diane. Hasn't really overextended himself too much. He was in Korea where he won and then blew the PGA by trying to fly back and doing all that. But I got a feeling about Sungjae. He's 18th in off the tee and he's 50th in putting. Those two, that's just a powerful combination, Diane. So that's my pick up top this week. You're going to tell me his odds because I think it's 20s.
Yeah, 20 to 1. Do you know, I am going to keep checking though, because yesterday I was having a look at the odds and the, the difference between different bookmakers was crazy yesterday. So I'm going to do like a live check as we're recording the show to make sure that, yeah, you know, we're getting the best ones because there was a few guys that I'm like, why are their odds so short? But obviously Sungjae is going to be up the top, 20 to 1, I think is the average. Let me just double check this. Yeah, 22 to 1 I can find him at. That's the best. So
okay, I'll take it.
Not bad, not bad. My guy is way less than that. He is 14 to 1. And this is the fairy tale pick, and he's actually the favorite with a lot of the odds makers this week. Him, Tony Finau, and Colin Morikawa. But I am going to go with Ricky Fowler. It's got to be his week, right? Like, it has to all come together at some point. And he had another good week at the Travelers, finished 13th in the end. It's his ninth top 17 finish in his last 10 starts. That's amazing. And when you look back at the Ricky Fowler that everyone was concerned about in 2022 and you compare it to Ricky now, I mean, it's like a completely different person. He has played well here before. He finished in a tie for 12th 3 years ago. And obviously, we know the troubles that happened after that. But he's the poster child of Rocket Mortgage. They're one of his big sponsors. He's going to have the backing of the fans because everyone loves Ricky. He's going to have, you know, the backing of the sponsor, and he'll have a few extra obligations this week, I'm sure. But he's in form. He's feeling confident. He's 14 to 1. I'm taking him, and I'm hoping that it's just going to be the perfect ending, a win for Ricky with a big bow on the top at the Rocket Mortgage this week.
Well, I don't blame you. It's been fun watching Ricky come back, and it's been a sort of a progression. You know, it's not been peaks and valleys. It's just been a sort of one step, two step, three step. So you're on the right track. Could it be a bigger event? Could it happen at the Open? Could it happen? It's going to happen, but he is also embroiled into that sort of sortie deal. We know that Ricky was offered a bunch of money. We've also heard that players have broken off into a separate fraction of the tour now, that have got lawyers that are trying to get someone to represent them for when the tour does this deal. So they're in the loop. A lot of guys are really upset that they're doing that because they don't think they should be doing that. But so there's a fair bit of that going on as well, Diane. You have to take fatigue in a little bit. And I understand all that, but Ricky Fowler, as you said, always plays great when he's a sponsor, when he's sponsored by this company. And that tells you right there he's going to try very hard.
And we saw that at Farmers at San Diego at Torrey Pines at the start of the year. He finished, what, top 10? So a little bit of added pressure for him in that sense, but his numbers are so good. He's ninth in strokes gained total on the tour right now, ninth in approach, like 38th in putting. But as you say, it's been consistently good for Ricky. It's not like he's had a good week and then some bad weeks, going back to, you know, maybe old habits. It's all been very positive and trending up. So I'm taking him this week. How can I not? You know me. I love the good story.
Yeah.
I also really like Tom Kim. He was my second pick. And Tom Kim, 22 to 1. But he's, you know, again, Tom Kim, there was a lot of expectation.
Putting four rounds together.
Yeah.
His cutting is what's letting him down. He's 128th, which is on the negative side of things. Everything else is okay.
Yeah, great total driving and great accuracy. One of the most accurate on tour. So, you know, that's going to be good this week. As you say, getting him in those scoring positions off the tee. So I'm just throwing a little side note of Tom Kim out there.
All right.
Okay, well, ones to watch. What do you have? What odds is your guy at this week?
Well, I want to go off the ledger a little bit. I've been on such a heater, Diane. Brian Harman, who I'm a good friend of mine, contributed to Secret Golf and got me tickets for the U.S. Open that I was able to get some people to see him play. He was doing really well in the U.S. Open. He was up there in the top five through 2 days, finished up about 40th at the end, came back last week and finished second. But he's got the two stats that I really like. He's got the driving and he's got the putting, 45th and 52 in those two combinations. And he's got a lot of confidence. So normally speaking, I may or may not take him depending on the end of my sentence here, but I think I am going to take him because he texted me and said, my game is... He was off at Colonial. We spent an hour on the phone talking about ball position and his coach that he was working on was doing this and he was checking it with me and we were talking through it and so on and so forth. And since then, he's got himself really comfortable. And the last text he sent me was, because I told him he won like $2.5 million last week, by the way. He said, I'm going to go home and pay off my ranch. So he is feeling super, super Diane. And he said, my game is sitting about as good as I've ever had it. So I've talked myself back into it. I'm not even going to mention the other player. Okay. I'm going to let you have that. But I'm going to take Brian Harman one to watch. I think what is his odds, about 40?
I think his odds were pretty good, actually, considering he just finished runner-up last week. Brian Harman at 45 to 1.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, really good. Really good. Okay, I love that he's going to go pay off his ranch.
I know.
So good. So much money in these days.
Wish it was me.
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay, well, my My one to watch is 66-1. And this name, if you've been following golf over the last few weeks, this is a name that will definitely be on your radar. Ludvig Åberg, who was the real kind of college star. The PGA Tour University takes the best college players and they have a ranking throughout the college year. And then the guy that finishes top gets some status on PGA Tour and Korn Ferry Tour. So Ludvig Åberg was that guy. He just turned pro earlier this month and he's already had two top 25 finishes in his two starts, the RBC Canadian Open and then at the Travelers last week. His two good stats, putts well and off the tee, which as you said, putting and driving going to be key this week. He's kind of like the new kid on the block that everyone's watching. There's a lot of interest in him already because he's so good. So hopefully he's going to live up to it. 66-1. I thought the odds were great this week for Ludvig Åberg to maybe really make his stamp on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I've been watching him for a couple of years. He's Texas Tech guy, number one amateur in the world, just does these eye-popping scores. Like you'll see the 59 pop up. You'll see these, you know, all these crazy numbers. Now, he's a runaway freight train who's coming on the tour, Diane, sort of like a Phil Mickelson or, someone like that. And it's just getting himself organized, getting used to these courses. Every week is tough for him because he's got to, understand what this course is asking and get on about his business. But he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm taking Ludvig Åberg at 66-1 and you have Brian Harman at 45-1. Those are great odds for those guys. And then we move on to our dark horse pick. So they have to be over 100-1. I found my guy at 300-1 this week.
Lay it on me.
You want it? Okay, well... This guy, the odds are so high because he is having a terrible year, right? There's no other way for me to put it. He had a good finish at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, the team event, but the last cut he made in a solo event, which is every other event on the PGA Tour, was the Sony Open in Hawaii in January. So he's having a really bad run of things right now and the stats are horrific. So we're throwing all of that out the window completely this week. And
do you not remember our formula that 83% of the... Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, but I mean, I was going to say, how often does it come from the dark horse? But Nate Lashley was the exception to that.
Only once in the last 5 years, but go on.
It only takes one time. Yeah. When we talk about horses for courses and we talk about Detroit Golf Club, then this is the guy, okay? So as I said, terrible form, no stats. This is the fifth year the tournament has been held here. And in the last three, he's finished 8th, 14th and 2nd. So he plays really well at this
club. I get it.
Yeah. So he's coming back to a place desperately searching for something. And he obviously feels very familiar and comfortable around here. His game suits the course. Not only that, but he has a family connection here in that some of his family live in Detroit. And his cousin is the women's basketball coach at the University of Detroit Mercy. So I'm going with...
He's pregnant. No.
Troy Merritt at 300-1.
That's a great story you've knitted together there, Diane. I love guys that go to courses and play well on it. And I know it's true because when you stand on the tee and you know exactly what to do on that hole, and there was courses that I played on tour that, and there were certain holes that I didn't like. And I would trick myself and I would pretend that I was on my third hole at Champions, which I never miss a drive. I know exactly how to do it. And I would pretend on that hard hole that I was on my third hole and I would trick myself. I'm not saying that's what Troy Merritt does, but he knows exactly what he's doing on this golf course because he's proved it in the last 3 years. 300-1 is a great little thing. I'm writing this down so I remember it.
He had an ace last year at the tournament as well. So, and when you like look up anything to do with the Rocket Mortgage from last year, obviously everyone spoke about Tony Finau and that was the Netflix episode he filmed, but everyone was big. Troy Merritt held the lead and had an ace. So it was, you know, he's going to go back there. The fans are going to love him because they had such a great moment with him last year. And yeah, as you say, he's going to stand on the tee and feel comfortable. And he needs a spark desperately.
What is he on the FedEx?
147.
Okay, so he's got to be thinking, if I just do what I normally do at this course, I'm going to be safe next year's job. I'm going to finish top 10 and off I go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's, as we were just talking about, like, it is it's that time where the pressure's on. Top 70 for him will be, you know, he's not got that immediate pressure on himself in the top 70 because I'm sure he's realistic, but the 125, he's got until the end of the year to get that sewn up.
We saw it happen, Diane. We saw Zach Blair last week finish second out of nowhere, been on a medical exemption, got in last week, was out playing different golf courses. He built a golf course down in Georgia, been selling memberships. He played Wingfoot and all these other courses before he got to Hartford and finished second. Now he's back on tour. Okay, my third, my one to watch, Diane, is the best stats on the board for 100 to 1. I'm going that direction.
Okay.
This guy is 55th total strokes gained. So at 100 to 1, I don't think you'll ever see a guy with this kind of combination of strokes gained where he's in the positive all the way across the board at 100 to 1. I'm talking about Adam Svensson, who is, as I said, 38th on the FedEx. Hasn't been playing that well, but I got to think, Diane, he's looking for a little bit of a run here. He's got the stats to back it up. Every week, his stats are getting a little better. As I said, I'm looking at what he's done in the last 7 weeks. Nothing really that's going to be popping out at me at all, but I'm going with him, 100 to 1.
Yeah, I picked him a few weeks ago. I can't remember for what tournament it was, but yeah, he's one of those guys that you've always got one eye on. Like, you're not surprised when you see him creeping up that leaderboard. So
yeah,
good,
yeah.
Great odds. You know, there were some weird odds this week, but Svensson at 100 to 1 is a really, really great find, especially because when we did our re-ranking, as you say, he was the highest. He actually ranked out at number 17 when we put it all together, and he's 100 to 1. So really good. I like it.
Now, there's a big meeting tomorrow here, Diane. I don't know if Jay Monahan, I don't know if you have any more information from your brother who was on the board. Also, LIV Golf is back in action at Valderrama. I've been to Valderrama. It's one of the most interesting and tremendous courses, greatest places I've ever been in Spain. Courses just littered with these cork trees. They're everywhere. And when you hit your ball, every time you hit your second shot, you've got to curve around a cork tree. And it's just the most unusually awesome course you've ever seen. They had the Ryder Cup there, of course. Tons of world events, and probably one of the best courses in Europe we're going to get to look at this week as well, if you're inclined to spread out your thinking a little bit. And if this is going to be a combination of these two leagues, Diane, will you be checking out the LIV tournament at Valderrama this week?
Well, that's the thing. It's not really like one or the other now, because they're all going to be under the same umbrella eventually. Yeah, I just had a look at the odds very quickly, if you want me to tell you, because when you think of Valderrama, Spain, Sergio Garcia is going to be the name that springs to mind. He's 12 to 1 this week. Cameron Smith, 8 to 1. Kepka's 10 to 1. DJ's 12 to 1 as well. Joaquin Neiman, 18 to 1. Mito Pereira, 16 to 1. So, but yeah, they're going to have to go and explain this new entity to the US government, and they've been called up, Jay Monahan, Yasser, and Greg Norman included in the list as well of the guys that are going to have to go and sit in front of a US government board and go through everything little by little. Who knows what's going to come from the meeting? Every time they've had these meetings, like the one last week, nobody was any the wiser of anything going on. So are we going to learn anything? Probably not.
Players are very unsettled. They don't know what's happening. They know they have to keep their head nose to the grindstone and do as best they can on the golf. They don't know what's on the horizon, what's happening. So, we don't know. We're just going to have to wait, because nobody has been able to tell us exactly what's going to happen.
But do you think it's maybe easier for them now just to focus on playing their golf and moving up and getting their number as great as it can be? Because if they don't know what's going on, they can't really involve themselves with it too much.
Well, the tour, once they, you know, when Liv came around and then the tour decided to go to elevated events, they drew a number in the sand that said, hey, if you're in the top 70, you're going to make a ton of money. And if you're outside the top 70, too bad, you need to play better. So unfortunately, when they use that term, as Rory did recently, it's unfortunate because there's not enough room for 70. There's only 70 going to get into 70. And let's face it, we look at the sheet every week. There's 70 guys that are not going to get in the top 70. Yeah. One may jump up for a couple of weeks and back and forth, but there's players at the top that are better. So, you know, Diane, if it was me out there, I'd be just grinding on my game, trying to do as good as I can this week.
Yeah, kind of try and ignore everything else that's going on. All right, well, that was our tour report for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Next week, it's the John Deere, and then the guys are overseas. We have the Genesis Scottish Open and then the Open Championship as well. So we've got a really fun stretch of golf coming up. Thank you for watching and for listening to the Tour Report, and we'll be back next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.